There? Okay, thank you. As we look at this portion of Scripture, we see God speaking and Jesus is speaking to us in Matthew 16, and we will read those verses starting at Matthew 16, verses 13 through 20. Let us stand at the reading of God's holy word. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" So they said, "Some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." So Jesus said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he commanded his disciples that they should tell no one that he was Jesus the Christ. These were thy words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us in the truth. Thy word is eternally true. Amen. You may be seated. The theme for our conference this year in Dickinson came from 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. And it states that you may know. That you may know Jesus came into the world because you are a sinner. That you are saved by grace. That you are the one God loved so much that he sent his only begotten Son into the world to save you. Not the next one to you, but you as an individual. We find each of us is a separate world before God, and God loves each one of us. We are to know that Jesus was there when God created the heavens and the earth, when man was created in the beginning. And we find that God wants us to know that Jesus came and came for one purpose only, and that was to reconcile the world back to him and to bring the world into subjection of the way it should have been all along. Satan is doing everything he can in his power to disrupt the work of God. And he's doing everything he can amongst the people whose minds he can control to do the things against God and God's glory. But we have Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. And if we're dedicated to him, we profess him as a personal relationship of ourselves to him. We are willing to stand up for him regardless of what it costs to us. The United States has been blessed beyond measure. We have been blessed beyond measure. And we have been blessed over and over again, and we've had our sins forgiven over and over because God has not punished us for the things we've done wrong in the way we've done wrong in some of the nations that we see. God says, "You will be punished if you continue living against me and against my will. You will be punished if you don't accept Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. You will be punished in the day of judgment, if now, if not sooner, that when the books are opened and you stand before that judgment seat of Christ, and Christ himself is the judge, and the books are opened, and another book is opened. And in that second book is the book of life. But all the things in these first books are everything you have said, done, or thought. All your actions, all of your life. And don't try and tell me that he can't keep track of it, because he can, and he does. But the second book is open, and if your name is not found in the book of life, if it is not found there, you will be cast aside into everlasting hell and everlasting damnation and fire, it tells us in Revelation. God is the judge. He has told us these things. I have told you so you may know. You may know that I sent my only begotten Son into the world to save you and to bring you and release you from the bondage of sin. And in that release from the bondage of sin, you can have Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. Jesus asked the disciples, "Who do people say I am?" And they gave him all kinds of answers. We read in Jeremiah, God says, "I will call my people out of the north that I have scattered them to." And he has done that, and he's doing it today. We find freedom flights flying from Russia and the Ukraine, as well as other parts of the world, bringing Jews back to Jerusalem. They spend some time in a camp to learn the Jewish nationality, their language, and the way that they live. And then they are, if they are unable to work or are elderly, they're given a small pension in which hopefully they can survive. There are many organizations, many in the United States especially, that is helping sponsor this freedom flights, if you want to call it that, bringing the Jews back. He says, "I'll call them out of the north, out of Russia and the Ukraine." And there are many already that has done that. Many of these people coming have heard the word of God, and many of them have Christ as their personal Lord, and as they immigrate into Israel, they bring the word of God with them, and they stand up for their Jesus. They stand up and they tell other people, and more Jews are accepting Christ has come once and is coming again. But there are still several that don't do that. And we find that even as the Gentiles, it tells us in Jeremiah, it says, "We will help you because our leaders even have told us lies." We read in Jeremiah. Our leaders, even today, many of them will tell you something you will sound good to your own ears, and yet it's not the truth. You see, God is truth and God is love. God says, "I will judge the earth, and my patience will wear out, and I will take and pour my wrath out upon those who refuse to believe." And that time is coming very, very quickly. We find Jesus asked his disciples, "Who do you say I am?" And the same question comes to each one of us. Who do you say Jesus is? Is he the man of the Bible you read stories about? Or is he the one that you have given your heart and your life to? Is he the one that you say, "Lord Jesus, I will go where you want me to go. I will preach where you want me to preach. I will live the way you want me to live. And I will take and be willing to stand up and not deny you before my friends, my family, or my business acquaintances." And many times we have to say we fail. We have to come in repentance before God. You see, Jesus is the judge, and Jesus is the one that will tell you if you are living for him or not. Have you denied Christ? Are you denying him today? And what my prayer is, we aren't. But we find Jesus wants to know. John tells us in chapter 20, in verse 31, he says, these things are written that you may believe and know and have eternal life. We can know. John 3:36 tells us that if we have Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, we know we have eternal life. We know it. So people that says we aren't sure, we can know, because we know we're walking with the Lord daily, and we're praying to him daily. We're listening to his word. We're reading his word if we can. We're studying his word. And we're communing with him day by day. In prayer, we commune with God. In prayer, we want to make sure we're talking with God, not only to him, but we're letting him talk to us and tell us how to live and what to do and how to stand fast for him. In this country, we have more than we need. But you take some of the European, or not European, but Far Eastern Asian countries, and many of them have nothing. Yet, they're giving their lives for Christ because they have Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. A while ago, we have a mission in Uganda. And a while ago in Uganda, there was a 27-year-old man that accepted Jesus Christ. He's a Muslim, and he accepted Christ. They gave him a Bible, and they told him, be careful, so careful, because if your family and other Muslims find out you've accepted Jesus, they will want to kill you. And he says, I know, but I want Jesus as my Lord and Savior. About 2 weeks later, his family realized he had accepted Jesus Christ, and they caught him with his Bible. They put cooking oil and heated it up so it was boiling and put him in there. And he had, when he got away, he had burns over 40% of his body. And they were still searching for him because they wanted to kill him because he had turned from Muslim to Christianity, because he had accepted Jesus Christ as his personal Lord and Savior. Yet he said, I want Jesus. Are we willing to do things like that? We don't know what some of these sufferings are, and we don't understand sometimes when God says, I am telling you this so you may know. Jesus told us to search the scripture, and in the scripture it tells about him. It tells about what his glory is. It tells us how we can live with him in our heart and have his glory showing out through us, that people will glorify God, not us, but glorify God for his glory that he has given each one of us. Have we ever thought about our birthdays or anniversaries or anything like that, or the birthday of our great nation, how God has protected this nation? And even with all of the things going on today, how Satan is doing everything he can to disrupt God's holy law, how Satan is doing everything he can to get the people to quit thinking of freedom as freedom. And these people are saying, we love everybody and we want to give everybody room in the United States to come, without realizing how satanic some of these things are. We may look at it and say, we feel sorry for certain people, certain children, and all of these things. We don't know all the facts. But let us pray for this great nation and for ourselves. Each of us is a nation in and of ourselves of God. And we either have Christ as our Lord or we don't. If we have Christ as our Lord, we will want to do His will regardless of the cost to us physically. If we don't have Christ, we're going to look to ourselves and see what we can get for ourselves. And we will try and get what we can for ourselves, and we won't care about other people. But let us pray that God's Holy Spirit will move a mighty way amongst each one of us, that we will remember when He took and had that Last Supper with His disciples. He says, "This is my body given for you. This is my blood shed for you, for the remission of sins, and that you do it in remembrance of what I have done for you, that I have come from my glory in heaven, that I have come to earth, and I have walked 33 years here with you, teaching you the love of God and the way God wants you to live." And then he says, "If you do that, you do it in remembrance of what I am doing for you. I am willing to be rejected. I am willing to be scourged and beaten and whipped for you to pay that penalty of sin that you can't pay. And that gift of salvation then is free to you. All you have to do is accept it and ask Jesus into your life and be your Lord and Savior." Is that so hard? Yeah, but we have to do something. No, accept Jesus. The work of God is to believe on His Son that He sent into the world. That's what Jesus said. This is the work of God, to believe on His Son that He sent into the world to die for our sins and to pay that penalty and reconcile us back to God. If we confess with our mouth and believe with our heart, it's told, we will then have Jesus in our heart and our life. We will confess Jesus came in the flesh and lived as man amongst us. And we will also admit that there are many who may be straddling the fence or who may want to look good, and yet they don't have Jesus because they think more of themselves in their daily life and what they can get for themselves than what God wants them to do. Have you ever prayed, "Lord, lay some soul upon my heart," and when God laid that soul upon your heart, you didn't know what to do? So many of us will say, "Lord, let me do your will." And He'll say, "Read, believe, trust." And we won't do that even sometimes. We look to ourselves and we think we have the answers. God has the answer, and that's His Son, Jesus Christ. That's the one we are to live for. That's the one we're to believe in. And as Paul said, of all the things he thought he was doing right, killing the Christians, he found that he was completely wrong, and that Jesus Christ had to meet him on the road to Damascus and sent him into the Gentile world to preach the word, and he did it diligently. And he says, "I suffered shipwreck, I suffered want, I lived where I had more than I needed, and yet," he says, "all of it is loss if you don't have Jesus as your personal Lord." Jesus is the one we want. Jesus is the one in which we want to live for. Jesus is the one we want to make sure our lives and our hearts are in tune with, and He is our personal Lord and Savior. If we don't have that, we're taking communion wrong. If we don't have that, we're building upon ourselves coals of fire. But if we have Jesus in our heart, and we have Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior, He will bless us beyond imagination. And even though He don't give us physical riches, He has given us riches, spiritual riches of wisdom in which to be able to serve Him, and that people will see Him in us and glorify Him. Our prayer is that we would walk with him, that we would live for him, and that we would know who Christ is in our life, that we would be able to say, you are Christ, the Son of the living God. You are the one that is coming again as judge, and you are the one that has gone to prepare a home for me. Let us remember that as we go throughout life. Remember to pray for this nation, pray for ourselves, our loved ones, and those around us, that God will work a mighty way in this community and throughout the world. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us turn to 628.